Running a business is no cakewalk, but with SAP Concur Solutions, you can be ready for anything. You can manage travel, expenses, and AP all on one platform that's packed with AI and best practices, and that delivers it all through an easy, clear, I can't believe how simple that is experience. So, while not much can be done about that guy who never fails to burn the microwave popcorn and stink up the entire office, with SAP Concur, you can easily handle almost anything else. Take control of your business finances today at concur.com. That's concur.com. Working remotely, where you are shouldn't dictate what you do. Work from the road by turning your vehicle into a reliable high-speed data Wi-Fi hotspot with AT&T in-car Wi-Fi. On the network that covers more roads than any other carrier, take your work on the road and AT&T will be there to keep you connected. Connect up to 10 devices and stream conference calls, finish up that presentation, or answer last-minute emails. Why wait? Go to att.com/in-car Wi-Fi today for free trial eligibility. Based on independent third-party data, number of devices varies by manufacturer. Always pay careful attention to the road and don't drive distracted. Wi-Fi hotspot intended for passenger use only when vehicle is in operation. Compatible device and vehicle required.
What if AI could help your business deliver mission-critical outcomes with speed? With IBM Consulting, your business can design, build, and scale trusted AI using Watson X, and modernize the way you work to accelerate real impact. Let's create AI that transforms your business. Learn more at ibm.com/consulting. IBM. Let's create.
It's brand new season two. I'm Marissa Thalberg.
And I'm Stephen Wolf Bedeta. And we're excited to be back having bigger, bolder, and always real conversations.
Straight from the C-suite front lines of marketing, media, and more.
We have great friends joining from people you may know, like Wilmer Valderrama and Bobby Burke.
And people you'll want to know. So grab a coffee or, hey, even an Aperol Spritz and come join us on America's number one podcast network, iHeart.
Listen to brand new on the iHeart Radio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Brought to you by the reinvented 2012 Camry. It's ready. Are you? Get in touch with technology with Tech Stuff from HowStuffWorks.com. Brought to you by Visa. We all have things we like to think about. Online fraud shouldn't be one of them, because with every purchase, Visa prevents, detects, and resolves online fraud. Safe, secure, Visa.
Hi there. Welcome to the podcast. My name is Chris Paulette. I'm an editor here at How Stuff Works. And with me is the best writer on the staff, Jonathan Strickland.
Darn tootin'.
I hoped you wouldn't notice. Anyway, today we are going to talk about wireless connectivity.
Yes. Specifically, we're looking at Wi-Fi and WiMAX, terms you've probably heard. Maybe you're a little familiar with them, but they can be a little confusing. And Wi-Fi has been in the news recently because there were a lot of cities that planned on rolling out municipal Wi-Fi networks for citizens. Now, a lot of them have them for emergency services, but several cities were planning on having these available for anyone to use.
Basically, anytime you would be walking around town with your computer, maybe you're on a business trip, for example, and you stop to grab some lunch, sit out on a park bench, you could open up your laptop and check your email.
Exactly.
You know, it's, you know, while you're out on the go, you don't have to be at an office or at a coffee shop. You would basically be on the street, able to connect with your smartphone or your laptop computer.
Right.
And it seems like it'd be a great idea.
And unfortunately, one by one, these cities have been kind of abandoning these plans. And recently, this is from the Orange County Register. That'd be the Orange County in California, not the one in Florida. Anaheim City Council voted on July 29th to stop their program with Earthlink. Earthlink was one of the major providers for these kind of municipal Wi-Fi initiatives. And like I said, they've all been kind of crumbling over the last year and a half or so. This was one of the last larger cities to try and implement municipal Wi-Fi to fold. So it's kind of a lot of people are kind of thinking of this as the death knell for municipal Wi-Fi. Now we should go ahead and say that Wi-Fi in general is not in danger. We're talking about trying to create a citywide network of Wi-Fi. So it looks like people were rushing into these plans without really thinking them out all the way through. And specifically thinking about how do they make enough money to support the plan and make a profit.
Yeah. See, a lot of these networks that they had set up basically had sort of, if you will, two tiers of pricing. One would be free. You know, anybody could do that. But a lot of the networks that offered a free option, the connectivity was sort of iffy. From the reports I've read, it was slow.
Right.
And you could upgrade, you could pay to have access to this network like you would at a coffee shop or a bookstore, or, you know, hotel, someplace where you had to have something to get you in the door of the network, if you will. You know, people weren't necessarily signing up for that. And if you think about it, if you have a wireless network at home, you know, these routers don't really have a lot of range. So you've got to, if you're putting together a network like this, you've got to get a lot of routers to cover all this territory. You've got to get a lot of wiring, for your wireless routers, you know, to connect them to the actual internet. And you have to have people running around making sure that, you know, when there are blackouts in individual routers, somebody's got to go fix it or repair the connection or update the software and firmware. So, you know, once you have it up, it's not, one little node covering an entire city block. You know, we're talking a lot of equipment.
Yeah, you don't just flip a switch and have it all work out just fine. Anaheim's approach was to connect routers to things like city lights and traffic signal poles, which was kind of interesting, you know, using existing infrastructure to support this. Still didn't work, unfortunately. So some people are saying maybe this is a sign that we should just wait for a broader acceptance of the WiMAX format of wireless connectivity. I guess we should probably talk a little bit about the differences between Wi-Fi and WiMAX. First of all, we'll just get down to the very nitty-gritty. Wi-Fi, as defined by the Institute of Electrical and Electronic Engineers, the IEEE, or...
Aye.
Yes. Thank you very much. And my Cajun friends, thank you too.
That never gets old.
That's designated as the 802.11 standard. There are a series of standards.
There are variations. The original were 802.11A and B, and there was a G, which is faster, and N, which is the latest, and it's really more of a proposal
than a firmly accepted
standard. But it's got more, you know, with each standard, they're increasing the range and the reliability
and the speed.
And the speed for the network. So, you know, it's pretty robust to have a series of standards like that.
Right. And there, in case you're wondering why they skipped over certain letters, those letters also are part of the standards, but they deal with very specific instances like roving Wi-Fi. Like when you move from one Wi-Fi system to another, how can you seamlessly make that transition so that the user is not affected when he or she moves out of one network and into another? But the ones that Chris mentioned are the specific standards that relate to data transmission. Now it's unlicensed, which in this case means that when you try and access a Wi-Fi network, you're essentially battling it out with everyone else who's also trying to access that network, and this can affect your connection. It can make it go slower. It can mean that you could have an unreliable connection. You could get booted off if too many people are trying to get into that connection at the same time. So think of it like a big building that only has one doorway and everyone is trying to go in and out of that one doorway at the same time. WiMAX, on the other hand, is like a big building with lots of doorways and they only allow the number of people to access the building the same number as there are doors. So once you get to a point like if there are 40 doors in this building, that means 40 people can access it going in and out of their individual doorways. But if the 41st person comes in, they'll say, I'm sorry, you need to go to another building. Because the WiMAX is a licensed standard as opposed to Wi-Fi. And WiMAX is also governed by the IEEE. It's 802 .16. So it's it can be a little confusing when you're talking about all these 802s, right?
That's true. That's true. Okay, so there are actually a couple ways that you can transmit WiMAX signals, line of sight and non-line of sight. Non-line of sight operates on the range of Wi-Fi frequencies generally. They're in the similar range, 2 to 11 gigahertz. And, you know, covers generally 25 square miles, which is about 65 square kilometers, which is, you know, pretty healthy range, but not as much as the line of sight transmitters. And those actually require a dish antenna, I guess similar to what you might see for satellite television. You know, mm-hmm. It's an antenna that would go on the side of your house, and it actually does need to connect, not physically, but it needs to be able to, if you will, see the transmitter, and it can cover areas of up to 2,800 square miles or 9,300 square kilometers, which is, you know, quite a range. But the benefit of having the line of sight is it can use a higher frequency. And in that higher frequency, there's more room for information, you know, bandwidth, more bandwidth. Sure. And it gives you a more robust connection. So you'd have fewer interruptions. We're talking a lot more bandwidth. You know, you could say that it's an option that would really give some of the fiber optic connections a run for their money too.
In fact, that's one of the main purposes for the WiMAX technology. It's not necessarily to replace Wi-Fi, and a lot of people kind of confuse Wi-Fi and WiMAX, thinking that WiMAX is really the common phrase is Wi-Fi on steroids, and that's not true because they're very different standards. But WiMAX. One of the purposes for it is to be that last mile. That's what it's called in the industry, in the ISP industry, internet service provider for you guys out there. It's to provide the connection from the last mile of the backbone, to the customer. So that's why you would think of it as a replacement for cable or for fiber optics. And, just to kind of compare it to Wi-Fi, Wi-Fi in general reaches around 150 feet indoors, 300 feet in outdoors. That's not very far at all, really, in comparison. No. So one of the benefits of WiMAX is that you don't need as many devices to cover a large area. You can use a few radio towers to transmit the signal, and you'll be able to cover the same amount of area that you would also require, like 100 or 200 devices for a Wi-Fi version of that same network. I should also point out, you know, you mentioned the distance of the line of sight and the non-line of sight. Some people contest that the non-line of sight, the ones where you don't need to have an antenna pointed at the transmitter, some argue that in the field it gets down to maybe 4 to 8 miles as opposed to 25, 28, 30. But whether or not that's an insurmountable obstacle, it remains to be seen. And also, I mean, that's just one side. It may be that they were using faulty technology just to test it. But either way, it's still transmitting a signal much further than Wi-Fi is capable of doing. So there's that. Now, the other issue with WiMAX is that there's no real infrastructure for WiMAX. And that would cost a lot of money to build up that infrastructure, which is one reason why a lot of companies were looking at Wi-Fi instead, because in general, Wi-Fi is cheap.
Yeah, so. I mean, just run down to your corner electronics store and pick up a couple $20 routers. That should cover it, right?
Yeah, yeah. Well, maybe a little more than that, but it's still it's still readily available.
Right.
And it's easier to use something that, you know, everyone's got a version of it out already. I mean, there's so many, like, laptops now. If you buy a laptop, 9 times out of 10, it's going to have a Wi-Fi adapter already built into it.
Yep.
To change over to WiMAX would mean, because these are not using the same signals, it would mean you would have to build in, you would either have to have a lot of WiMAX adapters available, or you would have to build them into the devices themselves. So you're talking about a massive change across multiple industries. So that's why it's not going to be a rapid adoption, I think.
Yeah, it actually has been this is the first time you're hearing about WiMAX. You might think that this is a brand new thing that's been, you know, coming up in the last few months. It has actually been going on for many years now. And I would imagine that expense and working out the different kinds of technology, the line of sight and non-line of sight, and how they're going to administer that, I think that has a lot to do with why it hasn't already shown up on everyone's doorstep at this point.
We all have things to think about, like, say, what's the best site to buy a new leather jacket, or whether to buy the 3 or 6 megapixel camera. But thankfully, we don't need to think about online fraud, because for every purchase you make, Visa keeps an eye out for fraud with real-time fraud monitoring, and by making sure you're not liable for any unauthorized purchases. How's that for peace of mind? Safe, secure, Visa.
So I guess we'll just have to wait and see whether or not someone comes up with a viable way of providing Wi-Fi through a citywide network, or if they'll just scrap that idea, go to WiMAX instead and hope that the new format works, or some other format comes out that we're not even talking about right now that takes over both and just surprises the heck out of both of us.
We'll probably have to write an article on it.
Yeah, I have a good, strong feeling that that'll be the case. Well, if you guys want to learn more about this, you can read How Wi-Fi Works or How WiMAX Works at HowStuffWorks.com right now, and we'll talk to you again soon.
Let us know what you think. Send an email to podcast@HowStuffWorks.com. Brought to you by the reinvented 2012 Camry. It's ready. Are you?
Running a business is no cakewalk, but with SAP Concur Solutions, you can be ready for anything. You can manage travel, expenses, and AP all on one platform that's packed with AI and best practices, and that delivers it all through an easy, clear, I can't believe how simple that is experience. So, while not much can be done about that guy who never fails to burn the microwave popcorn and stink up the entire office, with SAP Concur, you can easily handle almost anything else. Take control of your business finances today at concur.com. That's concur.com.
It's brand new season 2. I'm Marissa Thalberg.
And I'm Stephen Wolf at Adam. And we're excited to be back having bigger, bolder, and always real conversations.
Straight from the C-suite front lines of marketing, media, and more.
We have great friends joining from people you may know, like Vilmer Valderrama and Bobby Burke.
And people you'll want to know. So grab a coffee or, hey, even an Aperol Spritz and come join us on America's number one podcast network, iHeart.
Listen to Brand New on the iHeart Radio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Hello, acclaimed comics writer and notorious Scott Summers hater, Rosie Knight.
Well, hello, Emmy-winning podcaster and totally unbiased Targaryen royal supporter, Jason Concepcion.
Somehow the X-Ray Vision podcast has returned.
And like always, we'll be here every week.
You'll hear from TV writers, actors, comics creators, pop culture critics.
Nothing is off the table.
Listen to X-Ray Vision on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey, parents. Looking for something fun to listen to in the car with your kids? Blippi and Mika have a brand new podcast, Blippi and Mika's Road Trip. Each week, the Blippi Mobile will take your kids to amazing places. Your kids will learn awesome new things about the places and things they see and hear. It's a fun, interactive listening experience for the whole family. Listen to Blippi and Mika's Road Trip on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.